We'll speak a little bit about the special responsibilities of being a Kohen, of being a priest. We know being a Kohen comes with different privileges, getting the first Aliyah, getting called up to the Torah, as we said, doing Birkas Kohanim. In Israel, you have to work a little harder for that, daily, or in maybe a Svardi shul. Leading Birkas Hamazon, etc. But on the other hand, it comes with all privileges come with responsibility. Certain laws the Kohanim have that the average person doesn't have. And that one of them is Tumas Kohanim. It's with coming in contact, being in the same room as a corpse, as a dead body. And in fact, that's what, barring the mitzvah of the seven relatives, that for father, mother, brother, sister, wife, daughter, son, barring the seven relatives, is a prohibition for a Kohen to go to a cemetery. It's a machlokas in the Gemara, Rabbi Shema, Rabbi Akiva. What about the seven relatives? Rishus Achova. We pass Kinchova. It's mandatory for a Kohen to be involved at the Kvura of the seven relatives. So, and there are different issues that come up because of this issue. One is Kohanim going to medical school and perhaps maybe even dental school, depending if they have to play with cadavers and that type of thing. And some other shilas. So, one of the famous questions asked by the Rokeach, he was one of the first to discuss it, is the following question. That, let's say, the Torah tells us it only applies to Bnei Aharon, v'lo Benos Aharon. It only applies to the sons of Aharon and not to the daughters. There's no problem for a Bas Kohen to go to a cemetery. The prohibition is only on a man. And in fact, that's why it's a more of a matter, l'hazir gedol al-katanim. You also have an obligation to make sure the katan, your child under 13, doesn't go to a cemetery as well. And why over here was it specifically put? Because, among other things, because that would be the hardest thing. It's always the hardest thing is when everyone else is doing something, all the other kids are playing baseball in the cemetery, and your son can't go. And so explain to him, he's a Kohen, he can't do those things. So it's a more of a mart, it's a double warning, and some things that are permitted to most people, and because of your category, your stature, you can't go, so therefore it's a double language here. But either way, so it applies to men and not to women. So the Rokeach is a famous Shaila. What about if the wife of a Kohen is pregnant? Can the wife of a Kohen is pregnant, can she go into the cemetery? Why? Because perhaps she has a son inside her womb. So that's the shaila they ask. Can a wife of a Kohen, a pregnant wife of a Kohen, go to a cemetery? Wife of a Kohen can go. Can a pregnant wife of a Kohen go? So the Rokeach, who was the first one to deal with it, he says that it's mutter, it's permitted, based on the following. He says, we know we have different principles in the Gemara. This is a classic case where the principles don't change, but maybe the reality will change, and maybe the halacha will change. But what's the case of the Rokeach? It's what he calls the classic svek sveka, a double doubt. Because the rule is, savek d'araisa l'chumra, a doubt regarding a biblical law was strict. A doubt regarding a rabbinical law will lenient, and the svek sveka, double doubt, even on a biblical law will lenient. So he says, suffik, one doubt is maybe it's a girl, maybe it's a boy. Suffik zakar, zakar nakeva. And even if it's a zakar, maybe the baby won't make it. Maybe there'll be a miscarriage, there'll be a nafel, and the child won't be born. So you have a double doubt. A double doubt, we could be lenient. That's the psak of the Rokeach, and that was the classic psak for many years. The question is, what about Bizman Hazeh when we have sonograms, when we have tests where you can take to find out the sex of the baby before it comes out? So it's a twofold question. Number one is, would a woman be obligated to take a sonogram if she wanted to go to a cemetery? And secondly, even if she finds out that it is a boy, would that make a difference or not? So regarding the question of whether she has to take a sonogram, there's a famous tshuva of the No Debi Yehuda. It's a discussion, No Debi Yehuda Shach, but the question is, if you could be mevarer or something, in general, when there's a doubt, so if you could figure out the doubt by doing some homework, we don't assume like, okay, I don't know, let me do what I want, is usually the assumption is, if you're not sure of something, you do everything you can in this world to check it out. And then if there's a halachic doubt, then you work with the principles. But in general, if there's a doubt, if you become a mevarer, or you could clarify the doubt, then you go for it. So the question is here, we wouldn't be obligated to take the sonogram because then you can mevarer the doubt, and then it would only be maybe one suffix, and then you'd be a suffix to Raisa Lachumra. So the No Debi Yehuda has a tshuva. He has it by a different case, by wings with treifus and all that, but he says the qual of clarifying a doubt only applies if you could clarify both doubts. If you can mevarer both of the sphakis, then you're obligated. But since you can only mevarer one, whether it's a boy or a girl, so then you're not obligated, and he would say you wouldn't have to. Others might disagree, but that's the note to be Yehuda. And regarding, let's say you do find out if it's a boy or not, so would that change anything? So at first glance, that would be a classic case where the principles don't change, but the halacha changes. In other words, if you asked me this question 300 years ago when there were no sonograms, so I'd say the answer is she's permitted because it's a double doubt. But if you ask me today and she knows it, again, this is assuming in halacha that we accept sonograms as it's credible, that's our assumption we're making today. And therefore, I'd say it's only a suffix d'oraisa, and therefore it would be l'chumra. However, there are other reasons besides the rokeach to permit a pregnant wife of a kohen to go to a cemetery. And they are, others bring down a different reason. It's a question, why didn't the rokeach bring this down? Is there's a concept in halacha of tahara balua, or tuma balua, that basically, let's say you put a ring, let's say someone has a ring, they swallow a ring maybe, they go to a cemetery, and then they come back out. So is the ring tame? So I believe the Gemara tells us, no, it's tuma balua, that tahara balua, it was encased in the womb, there was no opening, it wasn't exposed to the tuma. And therefore, it wouldn't be a question of the ring would not become tummy. So to hear the Avdei Meluim, others point out, what do we need the issue of Svek Sveka? Even without Svek Sveka, it should be permitted because the fetus never really comes in contact. It's enclosed by the womb, and therefore it's not an issue. So the Avdei Meluim says, no, he makes a distinction between the case of the ring and the baby. The case of the ring, which isn't a natural thing, swallowing a ring, it's not really part of your body, so therefore that's considered inside. But a case for a fetus, the Gemara has different things where basically the fetus becomes part of the mommy, and the mommy really isn't a chatzitza, so you and the mother are one, so perhaps you can make a distinction. Maybe it wouldn't apply in the case of a fetus, but others would say it would, and therefore, it wouldn't be any bad. But that's another issue that comes up, is the case of Tara Tumabua, that since a woman, the fetus is never really coming in contact, so therefore it's okay. That's what others suggest. And there's another side to be lenient as well. At what point does the father-son relationship begin? We know the mother relationship begins at conception. She's walking around carrying the baby for a while. But when does the father son, i.e., when does the son become a kohen? Does it become a kohen in the womb, or you only become a kohen until birth? So there's a Gemara in Yevamah, a Mishnah, which seems to say that while the fetus in the womb is only like a zar, in other words, it doesn't have any kohen Levi Israel status yet. the status of the Kohen doesn't begin, or the status of any relation, whether you're Kohen Levi or Yitro, it's not necessarily talking about a Kohen there, it doesn't begin until birth. So the if you assume it doesn't begin until birth, so even if you don't accept Tuma Belua, even if you know it's a male inside, maybe it's your son, your future son, but he's not a Kohen yet. And therefore, based on these three reasons, the Rokeach of Svek Sveka to double doubt, based on Tuma Belua, based on the fact that maybe the father-son relationship doesn't begin until birth, based on those three reasons, maybe there's room to be Mekel, yeah?
How about when does life begin?
Yeah, so that's similar. When does life begin? It reminds me, I was in the motor vehicle office years ago, and I saw a comic strip, When Does Life Begin? There was a machlokes, I think there was a liberal, a minister, and a teenager. They were fighting over when life begins. So the minister said, well, it starts at we all know it starts at conception. It's murder if the mother even has to die in order to save you can't save the fetus. Or life begins right away. The liberal says, what are you talking? It's my body. I can do what I want with it. Doesn't mean, we don't worry. Life doesn't begin until birth and they're no longer in me. And the teacher says it starts when you get your driver's license. Mm-hmm. So, but what's your question?
Well, that's the point.
Which sheet is yours? Yeah. No, right.
I would say it was connected to the idea of him becoming a Kohen at birth.
No, right, exactly.
That's maybe when he's really alive.
Right, but maybe you could... No, but
an individual.
Right, except, but even though, but that being said, we still... we don't accept that total, because we do accept that conception, the baby, we can't do an abortion, so we do, it's not a full, it doesn't have the full status, it's not fully alive in the sense, let's say, that's why it's black and white, if the fetus is endangering mommy, you abort, you have a chiyuv to.
Right.
So there is so it's not on the same level, on the other hand, you can't do an abortion, it's a life, I think it's Rashi, it's not a full nefesh yet. So in contrast to the mother still wins because it's a full life, but it's still, we don't believe it that it's not the same at conception, but it's not nothing either. We usually have a moderate position somewhere in the middle. So, that'll be tough. And again, so then the question is, with the sonograms, would that change anything? Would I say now it's only... So that's what many are a mako. However, I heard from Rav Schechter, and I think Rabbi Bleich, I didn't get it yet, but volume 5 is out, or 6 now, his new contemporary. You got it yet? You just know it came out, yeah? So Rav Schechter apparently is machmir on this issue. Based on what? So it's just not machmir. He has an interesting shita. It's the shita of Rav Chaim Ozer, and you have many Rav Chanan. This is what they write in all the yeshiva shtickles, in the Netzach, whatever that's where the yeshiva, and they write this lumdis in turn. He takes this halach lamaisa. In other words, what's the working assumption when we say it's usher for a kohen to come in contact with the dead? It seems to be result oriented. That's the pashas. You read the chumash. That's the way you normally say. Why can't a Kohen go into a cemetery or come in contact? Because the halacha is a prohibition for a Kohen to come in contact with the dead. And we'll get into another time, and according to the Rambam, each time you go, it's a separate prohibition. So it seems to be result-oriented, that when you go into a cemetery, you become tummy and violated, implying, according to this, if you assume it's result-oriented, then coming into... So if you can make up a hechet timsa, you can make up a hypothetical, we're going into a cemetery, you wouldn't become tummy, so maybe that would be... Maybe that would be mutter. In fact, that's what... That's how Rav Schacht and others write by the case of Tuma Belua, that, let's say if the ring doesn't become... We say if you put a ring inside the stomach and then it comes out later, it's not tummy. Yet Rav Schechter holds the wife of a Kohen cannot go into a cemetery. But she, assuming that she won't become tummy, he says, doesn't make a difference. The issue isn't to become tummy. Obviously, that's a byproduct and that's going to happen. The issue is his scarves lemeis. the prohibition for a Kohen is to come into proximity, to come into close contact with the dead. Whether you become Tamei or not is academic to the prohibition. Obviously, 99% of the time, that's going to happen also. You're going to become Tamei. But the fact that it's us, and therefore he says the reason why the wife of a Kohen can't go in is because she's violating the prohibition of coming in contact with the fact she's not becoming Tamei, that's not the Isser of Tumas Kohanim. And then there are many rayas to this. They have the different Rosh Yeshiva have a different shtiklus proving proving this thing, because there's another Isser or a discussion on it. There's a question of Kohanim going to hospitals in general, because I know they're supposed to heal, but sometimes people die. I don't want to have to be the one to tell. Sometimes people die in hospitals.
You shouldn't drive on the highway for that reason.
No, that's a separate. It's a separate discussion. Sometimes there are highways on top of cemeteries. But other times there are trees. There are different issues. Trees hanging over. We're not going to go there right now. And since you're not a Kohen, you don't have to worry about it. But the issue of a Kohen going to a hospital, something going to hospitals, with something called the Goses. Goses is someone. It's hard to define today what a goses is, but we know what a goses means, someone on their deathbed. And they used to know that basically they used to, someone within 72 hours, 24 hours, I guess they used to be able to tell then. Today it's much harder, or we don't have the expertise. I find nurses know a lot better than doctors, because they deal with definitely palliative nurses. Like, I ask them what they think, and they're usually a lot closer to what the doctors think. Not because the doctors, I'm saying they don't know, they don't actually sit there, they're not there with the patient all day. But everyone knows their basic rules, but in the bottom line, no one really knows, because it could look the same and they could live for another 2 weeks. But either way, there's a concept of a goses. So even though a goses is a chai for kol adam, we consider them alive and you have to do everything possible to keep them alive. You can't hasten their death. So there's different shitas in the Shulchan Aruch, whether a Kohen could go to visit a goses. What's the problem? A goses is alive. A goses isn't dead. So we know a Kohen can't go into a room with the dead. So there are different shittas brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. We are, in the minute, could be to be Makel today, but there are shittas that say a Kohen cannot come and go into the same room as someone who's on their deathbed. So Pashtas, a simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is, it's an Issur d'Rabbanan, it's a Gzeira, that since he's going to die any minute, and a Kohen can't be in the same room as someone dead, that's why. That's what the Pashtas is. However, some Achronim learn it's a Din D'Oraisa. No, it's not a Din D'Rabbanan. It's usher for a Goses. It's usher for... So the Achronim write along these lines, because the Isser is the Hiskarvis Lameis. It's true that right now he's going to die. So even if he doesn't become Tamei, because let's say the Goses doesn't die, but the Isser is coming in contact with being in the same room, even if you're not going to die, even if you're not going to become Tamei, and therefore perhaps that's the reason for the Isser Hiskarvis. So in fact, that's where Rav Shechter was lenient. So it could be a Chumra in this case about coming in contact for wife of a Kohen to go to a cemetery, but he had a coup in terms of, it was funny, he was given, because Marcus Katz, who was spent Pesach in White Oaks last Pesach, so he's one of the wealthiest people in Mexico City, and he's a Kohen. So he was dedicating the Kolel, Rav Shechter's Kolel, many years ago. And so I think Rav Shechter was giving a shiur, could a Kohen get into a plane and drive over a cemetery? Because luckily the answer was yes, so Marcus Katz could come for his own dedication. But he had a whole shiur on it, but one of his coups was this issue, the issue is his carvus of a mace. So therefore, you're definitely not coming closer to the cemetery by flying. You're flying well over. So if you hold the issue is the result, so then obviously it doesn't make a difference. Tuma goes up to the rakia, it won't help you. But one of his coups was that the fact that the issue is coming close, you have a dafka going far away, he was one of the reasons for being Mako. So that's a major discussion today among the Achronim. There are many who are Mako based on the big three, either because, number one, the old Svek Sveka, the Rokeach, and therefore the pregnant wife of a Kohen could still go to a cemetery. You have the tomb of the Tara Balua, the fetus is encased in the womb, so you don't have to worry. And you have that even if you don't have any of those reasons, he doesn't become a Kohen until after birth. So who cares if he becomes Tamei? It's not an issue. The issue doesn't apply to him. And on the other hand, you have Rav Schechter, Rav Bleich, and others who are either because number one, maybe either the sonogram issue, maybe they hold that you're obligated to take the test, or if you know it's not an issue, or they hold the issue is the scarf, it's the mace, and therefore even in a case where the fetus, let's say the fetus Kohen won't become Tamei, but the issue is coming, walking into a cemetery, even if you're not going to become Tamei. Just to conclude, that's the minig Yisrael anyway. The bottom line is, if you're a wife of a Levi, a pregnant wife of a Levi, a pregnant wife of Yisrael, the minig Yisrael is for a pregnant woman not to go into a cemetery at all. Let me just point out, that's just a minig. So according to Rav Shechta, that it's a real din, so then it's a big difference. So if it's just a minig, so shalom bias issues, to then a pregnant woman can go to a Kohen if the situation warrants it. But if you hold that it's usher for a wife of a Kohen, so then it would be a lot more difficult. But that this is a pure minig by a Levi in Yisrael, it might also be a minig by Yisrael, it might be the real din. I got the signal from the gabbai.